This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Scrims Play podcast. And right off the top, we'd like to thank the SP podcast presenting sponsor, C&G Paving. If you want your paving or asphalt job done right the first time, you want C&G to knock it out. With 30 years of experience under owner Jeff Gray, this family-owned local business has been taking care of roads, parking lots, and driveways across Central Virginia for decades. And with a 5-star rating on Facebook, you know they're going to get it right. Give them a call at 540-456-6179 today for a free estimate.
We're getting into the thick of spring sports. I saw a couple of soccer games the other night. Ryan saw baseball, softball. Starting to see some of these sports, starting to see things kind of shake out. But let's start with the C&G Smooth Operators of the Week. And it's pretty obvious, I think, when you talk about baseball, one of the guys that you got to talk about, and we're going to dive into it a little bit later, though, is Adam Hackenberg out at Miller. And I got to see him against Covenant. And he's our Smooth Operator of the Week on the boys' side. Hackenberg went 3 for 5, and he had a 3-run shot that got out of the yard about as quick as anything I've ever seen.
Yeah, you were talking exit velocity.
I don't know anything about exit velocity. I'm not the baseball expert around here, but that thing got up and got out quick. It was an incredible shot. 476, betting.
He's got a 6-game hitting streak, and they played some really tough opponents on the spring break.
Legit pitching they were facing down there for the first couple of weeks.
So if that's the start he's off to, Miller is in very good shape going forward in the VIC. You expect that from him. Clemson-bound kind of guy that there's a lot of buzz around. He was so good last year, it's hard to imagine him getting better this year. And if he does, that's just going to look insane. There's a lot of pop in that bat.
He's a
fantastic catcher. Watching him throw to second base is awesome. He doesn't even have to get up to throw.
Yeah.
It's a pretty impressive total package that Adam Hackenberg has.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But it feels like the last guy that we had that had that kind of pop in his bat was Mangrum over there, Mangrum over at Western, who's now down at Virginia Tech. But those guys that just hit it and it's different, like you can tell. You can hear it. You can see it. Those guys just hit the ball different.
Yeah, Kevin White, Logan Fourloins.
There's a couple of good ones too, Mangrum. Yeah.
Those guys just had a little extra oomph. Hackenberg's got them all beat. He's just so big and strong, and obviously he's seeing the ball very well.
Yeah. On the girls' side, Albemarle girls' soccer got off to a fantastic start. Now they go into a really long break here, but we're going to split it for the Smooth Operator of the Week for Katie Schnell and Fizzy Gonzalez. They went down and played two 6A teams. Obviously, Albemarle's the defending 5A state champs, and they went down there and played Cox High School and Kellum High School. And Kellum was the 6A runner-up last year. That's an impressive couple of wins down there for them. 2-0 over Kellum and then 4-0 over Cox. And Katie Schnell, she had the 2 goals against Kellum. Fizzy Gonzalez assisted both of those goals against Kellum to Katie and then had a hat trick against Cox. We know how good Albemarle was last year. They don't appear to have lost much of a step.
Yeah, considering all that they lost talent-wise, you figured losing Bauman, that was going to be a huge issue. I'm sure that is for them going forward. But with Schnell and Gonzalez, those girls were finishers in that tournament last year.
Yeah.
They racked up a lot of goal scoring in key moments in the region tournament and the state tournament. So we saw Gonzalez sort of get to become the wild card for that team. It really just pushed Albemarle over the edge. They were so good everywhere else. It was almost unfair that she was able to step up and be that good. Now you get to see, you add a little more to her workload, if you will, and she becomes, an even more valuable player for them. And you look from the statistically speaking, what she did last year was amazing. And then Katie Schnell, big time senior for them. They're going to need to lean on her heavy to sort of anchor things all around the field, kind of be that midfield player. If you have those two, that's a pretty good starting point. We haven't even gotten into the back end defense and all that stuff.
Megan Chance, those kids. And Katie Grebe had a really nice start down there in goal. She played really well, and I think had 12 saves in the Kellum game. Albemarle girls soccer has it going on. We're going to see them in a couple of weeks as they kind of enter Jefferson District play, but they get a nice long break here.
Yeah, if you go 2-0 against the 6A opponents, that sends the JD a pretty clear message that nothing going to change.
Look forward to that Albemarle versus Western girls game. Both those teams have a lot back. The Western girls last night beat Powhatan 2-0. It's a good win for them. So it should be a lot of fun to see. I mean, that's, I think you got James Romness is back, who's the 3A state player of the year. You got Shannon Moore back. You got Abby Zimmerman back. I mean, they had a lot of kids back. The Berg sisters. There's players on players in that rivalry. That should be a lot of fun to watch this year.
Absolutely.
Today, we want to jump in. We're going to do a two-parter here. We're going to jump into private school baseball. We did a lot of public school baseball stuff last week. You can scroll back up in your feed or flip it back to click on podcast and go back and see the history if you want to listen about public school stuff. But we're going to talk about private school baseball right now. And I think you got to start with the defending state champs in Division II in Miller.
Yeah, I mean, they got so much of their battery back from last year. To have Ethan Murray and Stu Barrett back and with Hackenberg behind the plate, that's just an unbelievable starting point. In Murray and Barrett, you have another set of college pitchers. And I don't know, maybe we undersold it in the JD preview. Got to talking with Jimmy Bibb over at Albemarle, and he was just listing the number of collegiate players, which is pretty insane. If you go back over to the Western kids between Domek and Tenuta, who's not playing baseball in college, but he's playing in college for football, and then Garrett Payne, who's already committed, Jack Masloff, who probably is going to be involved in some sort of collegiate pitching, and then Fluvanna has a whole bunch. I mean, there's just so many players, and you add now in the private school side, you throw in an Ethan Murray who's heading to Duke. You got to see him play a little shortstop, which
He's a guy, man.
Yeah, Duke had plans for him as an infielder, and it turns out he's such a good pitcher that he's going to get an opportunity to showcase that as well. And obviously, you have the year that he had last year, and he could do both.
Ethan Murray, based on what I saw, Ethan Murray can play whatever he wants to at the college level.
Yeah, I mean, offensively, the kid can just fly. So, when you get to see him play shortstop, and we saw a good bit of it this summer in Legion, and he's just, he's a vacuum cleaner.
Yeah.
The range on his position at shortstop is just pretty amazing, and a lot of people didn't get to see it last year because Tanner Morris was taking up that spot. Pretty good shortstop, too.
Yeah, it's working out all right.
Yeah, and big void to fill, but, we'll see. This Miller team, they have a couple holes. They lost Will Wagner, and they lost
Tanner,
sorry. Brain farting. But Will Wagner should be a lot better this year. Jeremy Wagner this year. He got some key playing time. And, just up front, having Murray and Barrett anchor in private school, if you have two starting pitchers like that, you can run through that state tournament. We saw that's what the recipe they used last year, and they're going to use it again.
They got some players that are kind of stepping up. Ethan Chenault as a pitcher, and then this third baseman, Henry Hardy, for them.
Yeah, you said they're very excited.
They're really fired up about this guy. Hardy is just sophomore. And he seems like he's going to be a heck of a player. He got a nice bat, really, just a great fielder. So it's going to be exciting to see what Miller's able to put together. And it's a state title defense, and yes, They've got a lot of the pieces to make it happen.
Yeah, and so for them, the kryptonite had always been Greenbrier Christian, and Greenbrier Christian got knocked out of the tournament early last year. Covenant lost a lot of guys. That rivalry had been such a big thing. So Division II, that format, we're going through a pretty serious change. So we're going to see how that plays out going forward. Miller, they'll worry about that tournament in May when May comes.
That's right.
Right now it's all about the VIC.
It's all about development too, man. I mean, they got a lot of, after Murray and Hackenberg, they've got some holes to fill in that lineup.
And actually, if you get to see Miller, particularly in March and April, one of the cool things that Billy Wagner does out there is he distributes a lot of innings. He's not going to just throw Murray and Barrett every single game. He's going to try and find some bullpen depth. And, last year they really worked in a lot of different guys, position players, getting a chance to just see if you can go out there and throw strikes. So if they find a couple of those pieces and keep those top two arms fresh, that's going to be huge for them. So we'll see how that plays out in these first couple months.
You talked about Covenant just a little bit. That's obviously a program that's in a rebuild situation.
I mean, total rebuild. I mean, you're starting with a new coach and Chris Madison, who played at Western Albemarle or finished up his high school career over there. And that team was just so senior laden last year. Mm-hmm. A whole bunch of division
Haney,
college players,
all those guys,
all down the line. Burton. Another one. Yep. So we'll see what they bring in. You got Declan Kent, Aaron Leathers.
Kent looked really good, by the way, against Miller. Wes Arrington.
Yeah, Wes Arrington's another.
He's out in the outfield. He played pretty well. They had some things. Pitching is going to probably be – that's going to be the issue. They've got 10 guys, I think, on the roster.
Yeah.
And some of them haven't played in a couple of years, guys like Cole Harvey. So they got some work to do, obviously. But Declan Kent looked really good in the first few innings. It looked like he kind of had it together. He seems like he's – it's certainly going to be the ace for the Eagles and give him a chance whenever he's on the mound.
And this is not the first time just within the last couple of years that Covenant has had to do this and really building from scratch. We saw it after they won the state title in 2011. They sort of had to reload, and then Burton came along, built this team up, and got them back into the state tournament again in a Final Four showing last year. So really good for them, and we'll see if they can do this once again.
Yeah. I think that, it's pretty exciting to see anytime you've got those sort of teams like Miller, making a run. But, a lot of that grind happens a couple of years ahead, and maybe this is that year that lays some of that foundation for Covenant. A team that has been laying a foundation for a couple of years now is out at Stab. They have really been grinding and developing guys, making it work. And this year they enter, Nick Kent's senior year. Yeah. And so I think that it seems like they're starting to try to ratchet up the expectations a little bit.
Yeah, that program's in a completely different state of affairs than it was sort of 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Brian Yeagle, back at coach now, former player for them. He was there last year, so he knows the lay of the land now, what it's like running the show.
Yeagle knows what he's doing too.
Yeah, and talking to him in February, he sounded very comfortable. Yeah. In the position, which is great for those players and everything to have that confidence in their coach. Nick Kent, another Division I guy who does a little bit of everything for them, headed to UVA. He can pitch for them. He's a great infielder, great bat. He's been there forever. He's been playing since he was in eighth grade.
That's right.
And that's the thing. And he was a member of that team in 2014. Stab made a run to the mm-hmm. state finals. And we'll see if they can do it again. That was sort of like the Bobby Nicholson core.
Yeah.
Those guys leading the way on that group. But, yeah, there's a whole
Jalen
lot.
Jalen Harrison.
Yep, Jalen Harrison. Yeah. A whole lot of guys. Tanner Morris was on that team.
Yeah, they're doing really good. Doing good things right now at the college level.
Yeah, they got Marco Polos, Pasek Haas. Stab did so much rebuilding last year. The prep league is pretty even. And I think that'll play forward. They got to play in so many sort of close games. You got the usual suspects in that league: Stab, Woodbury, St. Chris, all of the collegiate, all the Richmond schools. And sometimes they mix it up with Benedictine and so forth. Good competition there for them.
Yeah. And then you look at the other two prep league schools from the area in Fork Union and Woodbury. Fork Union has had some success. They were a tough out last year with Grable, who's now at Bridgewater. Jacob Grable, really good pitcher. So anytime you faced Grable, and it was going to be a difficult, I think it was collegiate that beat him like 2-1.
He chewed up so many innings for them over the last couple of years. And not a guy that went out there and just like overpowered you. No. He was just really efficient. Didn't walk a lot of guys.
Worked fast.
Really important guy for them, trying to find somebody to replace those innings really hard. But they've got Derek Teeter, Luke Wilson, who has a great arm. Okay. And then we'll see Drew Hackenberg, another Hackenberg.
Yeah.
Adam started out over at Fork Union. So this is the third player to play for Fork Union for Rodney Carter. Fuma has, in 2014, that was a team that really made, or sorry, 2012, really made a push. That was a pretty solid squad, but they've just sort of been hovering since then and trying to get back and make the state playoffs. The Division I bracket is really, really loaded at the back end.
Yeah.
Hard tournament to make. And Woodbury runs into that sort of same trouble, too. That's a team that has made a lot of progress in the last 3 or 4 years. And usually, there's one or two guys on Woodbury that are just that much ahead of the curve from the rest of the roster. And it seems like they've been balancing out their depth a little bit. TK Baker, Cameron Hill, and Kent Walker, Robert Riddler. So, yeah, we'll see what...
They've got a little more depth, it seems like.
And the more guys
who can produce.
And the guys at the lower end of the roster are a lot better than they used to be years ago. And that makes a huge difference when your 7, 8, 9 hitters are playing like it, and they're not guys that should be on the bench. And that's just a complete difference maker for a program.
And then another program that has been really working hard to kind of rebuild. I mean, it didn't have baseball for a couple of years there out at Blue Ridge, and they try and take another step this year after last year posting a season above 500, which is a heck of a step considering where they were just a couple of years ago.
Yeah, for Blue Ridge, it's really a matter of trying to just establish a foothold, a continuing program year after year. I mean, it's a small school, so that's not easy to do. But yeah, Jimmy Wills takes over there for Brian Puckett. And we'll see what Blue Ridge can do with Eamon Johnson doing the heavy lifting for them. Perry King's another one. You got Chris Dean. You got Cameron Carr. So we'll see if Blue Ridge can take another step forward. This is such a hard thing to do because you're talking about you have to have 9 regular guys and then somebody to sort of fill in here and there. You need 15.
Yeah. And not only that, you're talking about, like you said, a limited pool of athletes, and they are loaded up in lacrosse with a lot of guys, a lot of players. Spring sports out there, I mean, golf team's really good too. A lot of things that, they've got to figure it out. They've got to figure things out. And right. I think that you got to like what they've done, man. They've really invested in the facility up there. They've made things that they're building a little bit. They're slowly building a tradition.
Yeah. I mean, the biggest thing sort of building these things, we've seen it it's happened at Miller way back when Sam Beal was running, is sometimes you got to find these kids that have never played baseball before and just teach them the basics. Michael Parker playing center field.
I'll never forget Michael Parker, eventual Maryland basketball player, playing out there in the outfield. And he was all arms and legs. A lot of fun to watch. Yeah, you got to find those guys. You got to find those little pieces of the puzzle. So that looks like it's going to be an exciting year in private school baseball. When you flip over to softball in the area, there's a lot of teams that have been making a impact on the state level in a big way, especially when you start out there with the defending state champs in Class 2 Madison County.
We've seen Madison get there, come very close. Last year with a very young team, Logan Estes and Emily Seal, a pair of underclassmen pitchers, they got the job done, and now they're all back. They lost a couple pieces over at first base and shortstop, but you have Meadow Anderson, Bailey Smith, Hannah Johnson to go sort of fill those holes. This team's loaded.
Yeah.
They expect to be back in that tournament this year. Anything short of that will be a disappointment for them.
They were a year ahead, man.
Yeah.
By all accounts, they were a year ahead last year winning a state title. And it shows they scrimmaged Woodgrove, and our man Jerry Carpenter out there hooked us up with a recap of this scrimmage. And the reason it's significant is because Woodgrove is the 4A state champ, and Madison edged him out 3-1 in a scrimmage. Obviously, not an official game. Who knows, who was going where or what was playing where. But, I mean, you had Hannah Johnson go 3-for-3 with 2 doubles and a run scored. Like, I don't know who she hit him off of. Doesn't matter. Like, 3-for-3 and 2 doubles is darn good. The pitchers played really well. 2 scoreless innings for Emily Seal. 3 shutout innings from Logan Estes, who's the returning 2A state player of the year. Like you said, loaded. They're off to a really good start. Madison County's got to feel good about where they're sitting right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think they've got an amazing sort of feeling of confidence. Obviously, there's pressure too, but the pressure's always been there.
Yeah, Madison softball doesn't mess around.
Yeah, I mean, the kids on the bench expect to be starting on that team, yeah. And some of them do. There's a lot of kids sort of pushing each other, and these sort of competition between positions really makes this team better. We'll see. We're going to get a chance to see Madison go up against Orange. They're going to get to play Monroe. They're going to get good competition there. Their district actually has been good about that. Their region last year, they ran into Goochland, and I think it was Nottoway, and it was just 2 amazing games where they played like 30 innings between those two.
Right.
They're going to play Goochland in the regular season. That's going to be huge for them. And Goochland's another team that has really been pushing at the state level. They They lost a lot of talent, too.
Kalen Spencer, the biggest name among them. Heck of a pitcher.
But with Lexi Ho, Keisha Braxton, Cherish Sims, we got to see them out of Fluvanna on Friday. Fluvanna's a very good team, and Gutchen was able to edge them in extra innings. Nice little walk-off hit there. That's another team to keep a watch on. Monroe, you slide over there, and if you haven't seen Alexis Whalen play, that is the best pure power hitter we've seen in the area in a long time in softball. And she's not, it's not like she's 6'7" or something. She just packs a lot of punch, really great bat for them, great catcher. And Jessica Ford, as a 3-4 combo in a roster, I don't know that you could do much better than that. She's been playing since she's a freshman. She can fly. She can hit it hard. That's a really great starting point for Monroe. And when you balance it out with Emma Pickett and then the Beals at the top between Lacey and Caitlin.
We saw what they did during basketball season. Small, scrappy, tough. And they're right there at the top of the lineup, slapping hits out, doing some base running. Those are quick little kids.
Yeah, you look at the top 5 and 6 players of Monroe's order, and they should be able to generate some runs. They played in some really close games last year. The last 2 or 3 years, they've had some issues with players returning. They had a year of turnover that they didn't expect it to be a year of turnover. So we'll find out if Monroe brought everything back and they're all 1 year better. But that's a program that's been building up to a big playoff run for quite some time, last 3 or 4 years now. And hopefully that comes to fruition for them. A couple other teams to keep a watch on, Buckingham and Nelson, those are the other 2A teams. Over at Buckingham, you got Haley Bain, Emily Gorham's, and over at Nelson, you got the McGarry clan. No surprises there. Sarah, and then Abby Foley. Sarah doing the pitching for them. So we'll see with Caitlin McGarry, so she can contribute as well. But Nelson County, that's a team. They've made some progress. Can they again take another step further? Same boat for Buckingham. Goochland's run that James River district for years, so that's the team you have to beat. And
since like the Macy Christian era, Buckingham
Central Lunenburg's another one in that district that's usually pretty good. But I know both those squads would appreciate the depth if the Knights can get things rolling over there.
Yeah, when you flip over the Jefferson District, Orange County and Almar and Monticello, I mean, and Fluvanna, there's a lot of teams that are right on that cusp. That have enough back to be able to make some noise this year.
Yeah, we got to see Orange and Monticello last night. That was a fantastic softball game. Orange is a good one to watch because they return so many seniors, and yet they have a sophomore pitcher doing the heavy lifting for them with Hannah Meadows. But Lexi Lomax is a fantastic shortstop. She's headed to play in college. Lindsay Slaughter has been playing since her freshman year, so that gives them as good an infield as they could possibly want. And then they have a pair of Fergusons running around out there playing for them. So Orange has got a lot of depth. They're a pretty gritty team, scrappy team. They've been sort of battling. Louisa and Powhatan had been at the top of the standings the last couple of years, and Orange had just been a little bit below them. But it looks like they're ready to take a step forward. Louisa has a lot of work to do. That was a real good team last year. And they lost so much talent, but they bring back Sarah Proctor. Kennedy Batchelor, she's been catching for them since her freshman year. That's a big name for them. Haley Rawson and Brooke Vince. So we'll see if Louisa can rebuild. It wouldn't be the first time they've done it. You look back to Taylor Robinson's freshman year, Hannah Fletcher and those girls. They all did this as freshmen back in 2014.
Right.
It's in softball, it's possible. You see young players, they're able to sort of look what Madison did last year.
Look at Asia Richardson did as soon as she showed up.
The second she arrived at Orange.
Yeah.
So it's not hard to do, and you can do it as a pitcher, you can do it as a hitter. So Louisa, we'll see if they can keep up where they were from last year. Powhatan's going to be a tough one. You're talking about Marie Crump. We looked it up. Overall record of 736 and 106 for Powhatan. She's been there for 30-plus years, and that program is always good. And they've got Mason Badkus. She's their leading pitcher, and 7 seniors around them, so they'll be all right. And a Louisa transfer and Taylor Dickerson going over to Powhatan. So it looks like they're going to be back sort of towards the front. After that, you look at Albemarle and Fluvanna. Albemarle made so much progress last year. It was a great job, great playoff run for that team. It had been a couple years since they'd been able to sort of get that far in the tournaments. Ellie Kane pitching for them. They got Cassie Pace, big bat. And after that, Megan Brown, Logan Freeze, and Quinn Graves. She's been playing for them for a long time. So a lot
Kane's kind of unique, right? Like she's not going to overpower you. She's going to kind of pick her spots.
Yeah, and that's the thing about some of the any pitcher in softball, but some of the younger pitchers, you don't have to blow them away with 60-mile-an-hour stuff.
No.
If you can throw a little bit of junk and you can hit your spots, you can just sort of be real cerebral about the batter you're facing, you've got a good opportunity. I mean, play behind your defense. If you got a defense, just let them do their thing. The law of averages is on your side when it comes to softball and baseball. And you see the pitchers that are confident in their defense always seem to find a way to chew up a lot more innings than somebody going out there to just strike out and overpower every single batter. Fluvanna, Katie Morris, great player for them. Candace Shaheen, that's a softball family. Her older sister was part of that big two-year run that Fluvanna made in 2014 and 2015. Toria Kozan doing the pitching for them. Fluvanna they were good last year. They had such a rebuild 2 years ago. There was just a little bit of everything going around that program. Mm-hmm. Trey Smith's running the show now. And so Fluvanna should be sort of where they back into the middle of things and pushing towards the top where they used to be just a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. A couple of programs to keep a watch on. Charlottesville, you got the Wilson sisters.
Yeah.
Between Brianna and Latia. And then over at Western, you've got Tiana Knight and Lacey Pugh. So both Charlottesville and Western, we've seen Western make pushes in years past, but they've always really sort of been overwhelmed by the depth of these other programs. And so for them, it's about getting experience, getting players, younger players comfortable, and just trying to build from there.
Yeah, and don't be shocked. I mean, like we talked about at the top, like you got young players, you can make that happen in softball. You can kind of create something, you can get a little momentum going and make some things happen. On top of that, don't be surprised when we're looking at another deep run from some of these squads, from Goochland, from Madison, maybe from William Monroe with all the sticks they got up there. You could be looking at a lot of different things happening.
So. Yeah, I mean, we almost forget them. Monticello.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Monticello. Emily Clifford, she's been there a while for them. She got dinged up last year, and that sort of curtailed things for them. But the middle of Monticello's lineup, just over the last two or three years, has always been really kind to them. They hit well.
Shiflett girl going to JMU. Yep.
And Beth Humphries has been there running that show for a long time. She's a veteran coach, and she always gets a lot of mileage out of her players. So Monticello definitely in that mix with Albemarle, Fluvanna, Orange, and Louisa, you know, sort of always pushing things forward. You don't have to go that far back to where Monticello was the squad to beat.
Yeah, that's true.
And they did that all with pitching. If you have someone like Clifford, hopefully they can get back to that point and sort of build from the couple sort of seasons just a little bit below Louisa and Powhatan and try and make a push there.
I mean, Monticello went 10-11 last year, but they lost some key spot, and it was a very tough district last year. Let's be clear, Louisa is really good. Albemarle is really good. Like you said, Powhatan was unbelievable. And they lost Kaylee Norford. They lost Lily. They lost some key pieces.
And those were power bats for them, so that's I think they're pretty happy last night seeing Brooke Falwell hit the ball really well, hit the ball hard. She had a triple that... probably a home run if it's 5 degrees warmer. just a sort of a tough break there, bouncing off the top of the fence and staying in play. Monticello's sort of got some young pieces around, but you feel like that they should be able to make a lot of progress quickly. Putting in, you got Hannah Shiflett, Haley Shiflett, Jessica Williams. So there's a lot of good pieces for them to work with and get back to above 500 quickly.
So that sort of breaks down, obviously, a very dynamic year coming up in softball. A lot of fun teams, a lot of teams to keep an eye on as they continue rising up through the ranks. We got a lot of coaches in the area that have really put a lot into trying to kind of rebuild some of the softball programs. When we had a couple of down years there where the bottom half especially was struggling a little bit, we've seen a lot of good hard work from a lot of different coaches that really kind of made that happen. So certainly something to keep an eye on, and we talked about private school baseball, the top two A lot of fun teams to keep an eye on out there, too. So we'll be back next week as we kind of dive more into spring sports. We're also got spring breaks coming up, so you might see some breaks and everything. But going to be a lot of fun to see kind of how things shake out.